Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
This morning, I've got a message for your edification, and I've got notes if you want them later for you to use, hopefully, when you're witnessing to the lost. So if you got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to use one scripture for a text. So if you would turn to Revelation chapter 3 and then stand with me. We'll read one verse of scripture there this morning, and then we'll pray over the word of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Very familiar verse. Again, some of you could probably quote it. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Amen. You may be seated. I want to use for a thought this morning the first and the second invitation. The first and the second invitation. I never cease to be amazed, Brother Ronnie, at how nonchalantly many today profess to be a Christian. Brother Mark, they got their Christian badge on. We talked about that a little bit this morning. All the while producing corrupt fruit. I mean, we see it every day. We see it on the news with politicians. We see it with the Hollywood movie stars. We see it in sporting events. We see it in the music industry. We see it. And to hear tell it, everybody is a Christian nowadays. But I'm here to tell you that not everybody's a Christian nowadays. And furthermore, some of the things I'm going to be telling you here this morning may come as a shock to some of you. Maybe some of you not, but some of you might be shocked. But I think we all can agree on the fact that we cannot be saved on our own terms. We can agree on that, can't we, this morning? That we cannot be saved on our own terms, contrary to what this popular church world might have you to believe. In fact, we cannot, and this is probably the part that's going to stump some of you, we cannot even approach Jesus Christ to be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws us first. Now, there's people today, Brother Eddie, that have you to believe that you can pray the sinner's prayer and boom, you're saved and you're going to heaven. Doesn't work like that. So with the help of the Lord this morning, I want to lay out from the Word of God itself the proper order. In fact, starting at St. John chapter 6, there's three verses here in particular that lays it out quite plainly. Verses 44, 63, and 65. Jesus is talking here in John chapter 6, and in these three verses, this is what he says. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." And the question becomes, how does he draw? "And he says, I will raise him up at the last day." Here's the key verse, verse 63. "It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that quickeneth." Notice this next part. "The flesh profiteth nothing." What does that mean, Brother Jimmy? That means we can't do it on our own terms. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do in our power, Brother Ronnie, to save ourselves. "The flesh profiteth nothing. But the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And then verse 65 sums it up. Jesus said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." So it is Father God that we see through these scriptures makes plain the fact that we cannot even approach to come near to Christ unless God the Father deploys Holy Spirit to bring conviction on that person's heart and life. How many remember the Billy Graham Crusades? I was privileged to be in one of those one time. It was a pretty amazing thing. I was very happy to be there. One of the greatest soul winners of our time. In fact, I'm still in the process of doing a study on this. Who are the top soul winners? And that goes, actually starts way back, you know, and it goes through the different centuries, 16, 17, 18, 1900, 20. And they give the people who are the number one soul winners for that century. And you'll be happy to know that Billy Graham's name was one of them that was in there. But the one thing that really, really bothered me, and not just about the Billy Graham Crusades, but the Carmen concerts and other things we could name, is that when they give the invitation for people to be saved, Brother Jeff, people would come up by the droves. And I'll tell you why that bothered me, because I've been in church all my life, and I've seen many, many altar calls given. And Brother Jeff, of all those years I've been in church, whether it was Brother Brooks' church, Brother Thomas' church, or Brother Truby's church, or wherever it was, even here in this church when we sat under Brother Dylan for a little bit, I've never seen when an altar call is given, everybody get up in droves and run to the altar to be saved. And I come to the conclusion that that's the reason for that, is because that we have a lot of bandwagon Christians, if you will, that when they see somebody move, they think they got to do it. How many's ever seen that before? Somebody do something because somebody else did it. Their heart's not in it, no more than anything. And I'll tell you how I know that to be true is because some of the people that I saw go forward in those Carmen concerts and at that Billy Graham crusade, when they came back to their seat, some of them were using colorful language as if they hadn't even went down there. And it grieved me. And I thought, there's no way that person was drawn by the Holy Spirit, Brother Mark, to go down there and pray if they're coming back the same way they went. Which brings us back to our scriptures here. The only way a person can be saved is if the Holy Spirit convicts that person and draws that person to be saved. And there's a reason for that, and we're going to get into it here in just a little bit. So there are many who will, as I said before, never receive the invitation of Jesus Christ. And I know that probably would shake some people when they hear that. But there are, I've got Bible for it and I'm getting ready to give it to you. Just hold on. But the reason why some people will never receive, Brother Mike, that invitation from Christ is because the Godhead Trinity has the ability to do something that nobody in the house here has the ability to do. They have the ability to see this. They look upon the heart. And if a person's heart is given over to wickedness, well, they're never going to receive an invitation from Jesus Christ. I want us to notice the following verses of Scripture, starting in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 153. The psalmist said, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law." There's a key right there. He says, "I do not forget thy law." He says, "Plead my cause and deliver me and quicken me according," here it is again, "to thy word." I don't forget thy law. Quicken me to thy word. Now here's the key verse to what I've been talking about. Verse 155 says it quite plainly. Salvation is far from the wicked. And here's why. For they seek not thy statutes. There's a lot, and I'm just saying, I'm not going to get political this morning, but there's a lot in the White House like that. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according, and he says it a third time, quicken me according to thy judgments. I won't forget your laws. Quicken me according to your word and quicken me according to your judgments. So verse 155 makes it very clear that the wicked cannot be saved. The sinner, on the other hand, can be. As long as they've got a heartbeat, as long as there's breath in their lungs, Brother Jeff, they can be drawn by Holy Spirit. But the wicked cannot be saved for one reason. They've given themselves over to wickedness. They have refused Jesus Christ when he did knock on their heart, when the Holy Spirit did convict them before they became wicked, they now are wicked, and therefore, and I've told people this before, a person who is wicked doesn't want anything to do with God. I was telling them this morning in Sunday school, when the Holy Ghost took over the Sunday school this morning, and I made the statement, Brother Eddie, that they've name-tagged us today as Christian nationalists. I refuse that and I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm a born again believer, blood washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason they dub us as Christian nationalists is they want to put us in a category so that they can hate us. That should come as no surprise, because after all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said what? They hated me and therefore they're going to hate you. This world system, and I can only judge by the nation that I live in. I don't live in some other country, so I can only judge by this one. But from what I see going on in the White House and in the Congress, they hate true believers. And the reason that this group of people that I'm talking about hate us, Brother Eddie, is because they're not sinners, they're wicked. If Jesus were here today, he would be calling them the same thing that he called the Pharisees of his day. He'd be calling them vipers. I was on the grill the other day, grilling some hot dogs, having a good old time, until all of a sudden I went, "Ow!" And I didn't realize. See, I got one of them grills that's gas on one side and charcoal on the other. And I'd raise the charcoal side. That's my way of doing things, so I can put my plates and stuff there and don't get hot. And when I'm done, I can put things on it, Brother Jeff. So I'm just cooking away, having a good time. And I raised that other side, getting ready to put a plate on it. And I rushed over to grab another hot dog to turn it. And that's when I went, "Ah!" Three times I said that. And I looked down and I was getting plummeted by wasps. They had built a nest over in the other side and they were having me for lunch. And I'm here to tell you, it felt like venom in my veins. I know that really that's what it was venom. But it felt like fire going in my arm. And I walked in, I showed Crystal, and it was beet red, swollen up. She goes, "Are you allergic?" I said, "I have no clue." Apparently I wasn't, because I could still breathe and it only swelled up just a little bit. But that thing hurt me all night long. Can I tell you that words are worse than that? The spirit that's in this world today is venomous. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he called them vipers, because these people hate righteousness. They refuse to acknowledge the truths of God's word, and therefore salvation is far from the wicked. I want you to notice these following examples in scriptures of people who were rejected because of their wickedness. And St. John chapter 13, verse 2 says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." In St. John chapter 17, verse 12, it says, "And while I was with them," Jesus is in the garden praying to the Father here, and he says, "While I was with them," them being the disciples, "in the world, I kept them in thy name, Father. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." And 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death." But here's the last part. "There is a sin that is unto death." And I want you to notice what the disciple here says. "I do not say that you should even pray for it." Why is that? Because salvation is far from the wicked. We cannot just get saved, and don't let anybody ever make you think that they can just get saved anytime they want to. One of the most fallible things I heard growing up in church, that I would hear people say all the time when they would give an altar, I'll just tell you where one of the places was, Spalding Road. Many times, Brother Larry Thomas would give an altar call, and he would beg and plead and beg and plead for people to come forward. And some of those same people, when I would go outside, they would come out, and I would hear them saying, making little comments, "I'll get saved when I'm ready to get saved." Excuse me? The time to come forward is when you feel the draw of Holy Spirit. Although there's no such scripture in the Bible, I've heard it said all my life that God is only obligated to deal with you one time. And the reason they say that is because the scripture that says it is appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. And that God will always give everybody in this world at least one chance. So my point being is this: why would you gamble? Why would a sinner, rather, gamble their soul, Sister Wanda, when the Holy Spirit is drawing them forth to be saved? People say, "Well, when I sowed my wild oaks and done what I want to do, Sister Blanche, when I'm laying on my deathbed, then I'll commit to God." I shared a story with Jason a few weeks ago. I don't know if he remembers it or not, but this story shook me to my bone when Brother Brooks told it many years ago, back in the 70s. That's going way back. And he said that this young girl, this was back when they had tent revivals. He said this young girl went to visit a tent revival, and the preacher was up preaching, and he preached a good message, and he gave the altar invitation for people to come up and be saved. This little girl was about 13, 14 years old. And so she came up and gave her heart to the Lord, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost the same night. And she was so excited, and she went home and happy. And her dad was a drunk. And she got home, and her dad said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you so happy?" And she started telling him about it. And he pointed his finger in her face. He said, "Let me tell you something, little girl. If I ever catch you going anywhere near that tent revival again, I'll beat you within an inch of your life." Well, the next night rolled around. The little girl went right back to the tent revival, had a happy time in the Lord, came back, and as she was approaching the house, there her daddy sat on the front porch rocking on a rocking chair. And in his right hand, he had a razor strap. He said, "You remember what I told you?" She said, "Get in the house." Neighbor said they could hear her screams all the way outside. Said, "But he about beat the tar out of that poor little girl." He said, "I want you to get down." After he got through whipping her, he said, "I want you to get down the side of this bed, and I want you to renounce this Jesus that you asked into your heart. I want you to do it right here, right now." She said, "Daddy, I can't do it. I love my..." He said, "If you don't renounce him right now, I'm going to beat you worse than what I've already beat you." Long story short, this little girl renounced Jesus Christ. A few weeks passed, the little girl got sick. They called the doctor. Back in them days, the doctor would come to your house. And so they called the doctor in, and the little girl was laying in the bed. And the doctor comes out shaking his head and tells the father, says, "I don't know what's wrong with her. There's nothing I can do. She's going to die." And this hard man began to break down and cry. "Surely there's something you can do for my baby girl." "I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing I can do. She's going to die." So he goes running into the room and says, "Honey, honey, get down quick. Get down on your knees and pray and ask this Jesus to help you." She said, "Daddy, you don't understand. I believed on him as my Savior and you made me recant." She said, "I can't be saved." Few minutes passed and he was laying by her bed sobbing, and all of a sudden he began to hear her scream, "Daddy, Daddy, get the water. Daddy, get the water. My feet are burning. My feet are burning." She could feel the flames of hell. She was leaving the world feeling the flames of hell, and it was all because of what he had done. I tell that story to say this: you can't get saved anytime you want to. Scripture says now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And it might seem strange that I'm preaching a message like this morning, but I just want to make sure that this church understands it quite clearly, that you can't just get saved anytime you want to. The first invitation, as this thought that I've given, is that obviously by Holy Spirit. But there's also a second invitation, and that is on the part of the individual to invite Jesus into their heart, to repent of their sins and to confess their sins. So the first step of this invitation, as I said, is to profess from both mouth and heart that Jesus is the Son of God who has come in the flesh to save the world. The second step is to believe from the heart on his name, the name that's above all names. And the third and final step is you've got to open the door of your heart and you got to invite Jesus in. And I want you to notice the following scriptures that detail these three steps I just given you. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 2, it says this: "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is at work in the world." Now, this is how we can tell the difference, folks, between true religion and all the other false religions. You can see that in the world today. Some of them have a real hard time when we say Jesus is the Son of God. And he came to the world as flesh to save the world. He was born of a virgin, but they have a hard time with that. The second step is found in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." So, you know, the first thing that happens is Holy Spirit draws. Recognize the fact that Jesus has come into the world, born in flesh. We got to make that pronouncement from our heart and our mouth. But then we got to believe on his name. Believing on the name of Jesus through the simple act of faith is the only means or way, if you will, to salvation. In fact, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And finally, in Philippians chapter 2, gives us the third step: "Wherefore God also, having highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God." So his name is above all other names, and it is the only name that is recognized by God. But I'll have you to know that one day is coming very, very soon when all those who did not profess him are going to be forced to bow a knee, like them dramas we did, Brother Ronnie, when the devil had to bow to Jesus, you know. And every tongue is going to confess, whether they want to or not, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And no part of the world nor creature will be exempted from this. All will bow and all will confess. Now, this, as the scripture says, this will all be to the glory of God the Father. And that shouldn't take us by surprise either, because any good father's proud of their children when they do good. And so God's going to make sure that his son is receiving his proper accolades. Which brings us back to our text, our scripture text in Revelation chapter 3, the final verse of scripture that affirms this last step of inviting Jesus Christ into one's heart. Starting at verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And here it is again. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." So without conviction, without rebuke, or without chastisement, there is no way an individual would ever be made aware, Brother Mark, that they had sin in their life. There's people, there's churches actually that are against these terms. There are people that would have you to believe that we no longer have to repent, that that is against the word if you repent. There's people preaching that false doctrine. But if we're going to be in right standing with God, we got to be quick. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." And here's the part that people don't, they just kind of want to read over. "And let not the sun go down on your wrath." See, people who have a problem with holding a grudge, they got a problem with that part of the scripture. "Well, I'm gonna maul on it for a couple weeks. They done made me good and mad. They got my righteous indignation up, and I'm just gonna stew on it a while." Well, while they're sitting there stewing, Brother Eddie, the Lord could come back. We showed a video in this church one night. It's been several years ago, and it was a pastor, I believe, and it was around Kenya, somewhere there in Africa, had a big church, and he died. And the church, I don't know how many remember me showing that video, a couple of you, he died. And the whole church began to fast and pray. It was like, they called it the Lazarus, the name of the movie was The Lazarus Effect or something like that. And I believe it was like 3 or 4 days he was dead. What they didn't know, long story short, they prayed God resurrected him. But during the time he was dead, and they even had him ready to go to the morgue and everything, God took him on a trip and he showed him hell. And this pastor was puzzled. He was like, "Lord, why are you showing me this? Look how big this church is, and look how many people I've won to you, and look at all this work that I've done." And it's like as if those words didn't even register with Christ. And he took him around and showed him all the different things. And finally, the guy was so desperate, the pastor was, and he, "Lord, please, this can't be my demise. This can't be where I'm going to go. Why are you sending me here?" And Jesus said, "Remember, just a few days ago when your wife approached you in the kitchen and was apologizing to you and you refused to forgive her, just that one simple act is enough for me to send you here, but I'm going to show mercy to you. Your whole church and your wife have been praying around the clock, and I'm going to bring you back. And Brother Robert, that's never left me. Ever since I saw that video, I thought, if the righteous scarcely be saved." And yet we've got people playing church. We've got people dilly-dallying around and saying, "You don't even got to repent. You pray the sinner's prayer, you're good to go." No, not the word that I read. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So Jesus is standing at the door knocking, as I said, without conviction and rebuke or chastisement. We're never going to know as individuals when we've got sin in our life. But once Holy Spirit has done this, one has got to be zealous. They've got to be quick to repent and make things right. So in sharing this message this morning, I would hope and pray that everyone that leaves here this morning will have a clear understanding that it's not just cut and dry, it's not just black and white when it comes to salvation. Because you got to understand, you got to remember, God looks upon and God sees the heart. And if the heart is wicked, as Jesus said, "As a tree falls, so shall it lie." Either make the fruit of the tree good or make the tree corrupt, is what Jesus said. And if the tree is corrupt, therefore there can be no good fruit come from that tree. I've prayed, and I'll close with this. I've prayed often. I said, "Lord, open a door of opportunity for me to witness one-on-one to people. But Lord, let me witness to the sinner, not the wicked. I don't want to waste God's time on the wicked. Brother Mark, that's the same as if I'm driving a rear-wheel drive car and I hit a mud puddle and I get stuck in the mud. Guess what's going to happen? The wheels are just going to spin and I'm going to go nowhere. And it's the same way if we try to witness to someone who's wicked. They hate God and they hate you because of God. So when we pray, we need to pray, Lord, lead us. Give us an open door of opportunity. Lead us to the people whose hearts are pliable, whose hearts are ready. You know, remember Jesus said that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers. Lord, send us to those who are ready to be harvested, not those who've planted their feet and they're not going to move and they're going to say, you know, I've made my decision and I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God and I don't believe in heaven and I don't believe in hell and I'm an atheist and I'm this and I'm that and I'm those type of people you're not going to get anywhere with if they've already given themselves over to wickedness. And I can say that with boldness this morning because the Word of God backs me up on it. Salvation is far from the wicked. So if you don't remember anything else this morning in the message, remember that. God loves the sinner. He's married to the backslider, but the wicked are going to be turned into hell. Praise the Lord. We trust that that's been a blessing to you today. And just in case this has landed in someone's lap that happens to be a sinner, we want to take just a moment to lead you into the sinner's prayer. And we trust that the Holy Ghost has been pulling at your heartstrings, and we trust that that message has shown the severity of how important it is that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ because we are truly living in the last days. Now, if you'll pray this prayer with me, neighbor, and mean it with all your heart, I guarantee you Christ will come into your heart and your life, and you'll be changed forever. Amen. Now, let's pray. Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus as my Savior. You said in your word that if I'll confess my sin, you would be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right now, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sin. I'm placing my trust solely in you, and I'm serving notice upon you, Satan, right now. You no longer have a hold on my life. I am the property of Jesus Christ, because right now, upon my profession of my faith in his finished work, I am saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Neighbor, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to be the very first one to welcome you into the family of God and encourage you to find you a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church so that you can continue on your path with the Lord. Make that 180-degree turn from sin and put all of your energies and your efforts into serving the Lord today. My heartfelt prayer for you today is that you will continue to go with God, and I'll guarantee you this, neighbor, if you will go with God, God will go with you. God bless you today is my prayer.
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they'd ask me what had happened, I tried to tell them. Oh, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the one I used to be. And thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Ran down my face, I tried to tell them. Oh, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Oh, thanks to Calvary.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Yes, love changes.